no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. Man, I had a dream last night that we were recording an episode of Last Podcast. Isn't I don't know why I'm dreaming that.
Isn't
it never
that
leaves.
The worst when your dreams are just your job?
Yes.
Isn't that yes. the worst?
I like spending time with you boys. But, you know, definitely. It's like right back to work because we had an accidental day off yesterday. So it was like I felt insane anyway
right.
from having an accidental day off because I was like, what did I fuck up? What am I missing right now? But in the middle of doing, we were doing the show, and I said something on the show, and Marcus started seizing. And
oh, my
we were like,
goodness.
Whoa, Marcus, what are you doing? Whoa. And he went, feeling sick. And we're like, what's that? I was like, is it me? Did I say something disgusting? And he goes, and he starts choking up this, like, fucking, like, pink, like, little guy. It's like nude, like
what
weird,
does
like,
it mean?
Kinda like Pat, like you remember?
It's Pat.
You don't remember Pit Pat? Is it from Mr. Show?
No, Pat was SNL. Thing?
Not Pat.
Oh,
not
okay.
It's Pat, but it was called like Pit Pat.
Okay.
It was something, it was like a spokes thing. It was a sexless, formless spokes thing for Mr. Show, and it slid out of his mouth. It was like, that's fucking sweet.
Well,
I was laughing the whole time while we're doing it. I was like, this is fucking hilarious.
This is great podcasting. This is yes. great podcasting. Well, if there's anyone out there that knows how to interpret dreams, please email us at sidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. All right, everyone. This is Side Stories. I am Ben, hanging out with my boy Henry as always.
Yeah.
And we cannot wait to be hanging out with you all this weekend in Vancouver, Seattle,
Vancouver.
And Portland. And if you are in Vancouver, get those tickets. There's still a few available, and it's just going to be an absolute hoot. So get those tickets, and we will see everyone there.
We're in the good part of Coover this time, too. Do they call it Coover?
I don't know if they call it Coover. It seems a little... I mean, I kind of like Coover. I'm Coover. Coover Thomas. Sounds like a football player.
Coover Thomas sounds like a cool guy with a saxophone. Yeah, it does. No, I don't think they do call it that because they're not as, like... Their names are, like... They have different nicknames over there. Kind of like over in the UK where they kind of add, like, a ibbly-dibbly to things. I'm not really certain. But I've heard a lot of their names more like... It's just like, oh, yeah. It has to have some kind of... It has to be a little bit sillier.
Right,
than just
right.
the Coove.
Honestly, the Coove sounds pretty cool. So we cannot wait to see everybody there Thursday night. Going to be very exciting. I also want to say it was wonderful to meet everyone. You know what I did this weekend, Henry?
Yeah, I do know what you did this weekend. You went to Las Vegas.
And I found out that, that is tough for me to handle.
Yeah,
but
buddy.
It was a lot of fun.
You're gonna die there, man.
I hope not. I think, dude. Okay, so seriously, Las
Have
Vegas.
Have you ever seen Leaving Las Vegas?
Yes, I love it. I love it. But the highs and lows of Las Vegas are simply incredible. So I saw people have the best time of their life. The people watching was incredible. And then I saw people having the lowest moment of their existence. And the saddest thing I saw, 3 o'clock in the morning, a man. Openly weeping at a slot machine. Openly, like, weeping like he just lost a family member. And the saddest part of all, it was a 25-cent slot machine.
Oh, my God.
So he just, I don't know what happened. I think he said, I'm going to let it ride. And
it ride.
And it rode away from him. And he probably
cool.
just.
75 cents? I flipped it up to a fucking, $1.50. Yeah, man. Get the $1.50, flip it up to $3. All I got to do is I get that $3 over to the roulette table. I'll let that ride, buddy. I'm feeling it now. I don't care what Deborah says.
The amount of times you just hear a slap on a table followed by fuck. Like it was, oh my God, it was incredible. But it wasn't just a pleasure trip. We also have some big news coming up here. We're going to be starting a wrestling podcast because people are like, start a wrestling podcast. And that's when I was down there. I was down there to watch AEW's Double or Nothing. And it was awesome, Henry.
It was a big old quotation marks business trip. You went and you met your new co-host, which we will reveal soon.
Yes.
And you guys saw some stuff. And it was like a business trip that happened. going to last like 4 days. Holy shit, yeah, dude.
No, at one point, I literally texted Marcus and Henry, and I was like, guys, like, we're going to Vancouver, which is on the West Coast. Like, maybe I should just stay in Vegas because it's
closer. And we're like, no, you should come home right now. Like, honestly, you should actually get on a plane to New York City right now because you're going to fucking die there. Vegas is just, I feel like it is still the one place I've ever been to that it is just the people watching is vacation enough.
Oh, my
just
God.
Just the different stories from back and forth of all the different, again, it's the highs and lows. It's so much good drama.
It's a lot of good drama.
We are really excited for this new podcast. We don't really know. You don't really know what's going to be. We don't know what it's going to be just yet, but I know that it's wrestling.
Yes, it's going to be called Kinda Fun, the LPN Wrestling Podcast. And I think we're going to focus, because my co-host has a lot of insight onto up-and-coming wrestlers. There's so much going on with New Japan, AEW. So I think we're going to focus on the world of professional wrestling in a much larger scope than just the WWE. And we'll, of course, we'll talk about the WWE because it's also kind of fun. But it's going to be a lot of fun. So anyway.
It better be.
It better be.
It better be, or I'm going to put the strap to you.
Ooh. Am I back in Vegas? Right. That did not happen in Vegas.
Happened to be in New Orleans. I paid a woman. Basically, what had happened was I was there alone in New Orleans, and I ended up with a group of bachelors at a bachelor party as like the ninth man on this bachelor party team because I was sitting there alone drinking. So they absorbed me into their party, and then they just paid this woman in the street many, many dollar bills to whip me. And I didn't realize I was in a blackout. I didn't realize I woke up in the morning covered in welts. It was great. And then I had to shoot a movie. I might have told the story before, but it's great.
Maybe.
Kissel, can you hear?
Yeah.
Wow,
my gosh. What is that?
It's not a UFO because UFOs don't make noise. This story exploded like a Scirocco from the desert yesterday from the New York Times. Disclosure is coming. Yes, it might be soft disclosure. So it's kind of like if you invited me over to your house and I was wearing a fake set of muscles underneath my shirt on the beginning of our date.
Right.
But then I was like, you know, Jillian, you're really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're really cool, too. I can't believe you took enough time away from the gym to go out on a date with me, Henry.
That's Jillian, yeah, Jillian talking there. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, Jillian. I got something I had to tell you. I like you. I think you'll like me. Yeah, what is it, Henry? Is it just because you're afraid that you're going to have to eat too much protein in my presence to keep your muscles all cut? No. This is a soft disclosure, Jillian. And then I pull off the muscles and she sees my body and then she's stuck. And she's stuck because it's hard to find a man in your mid-30s.
Well, I don't know if that's
true. I don't know if that's true.
It seems like there was many, many available men out there. But
yes, yes. But the soft disclosure is here. So I say soft disclosure because the Pentagon still has not come out and said, we know what these are. We have an alien craft in one of our hangars.
Right.
Eisenhower's still alive. He's getting blown by a gray. We don't have any of that.
We don't have that evidence yet.
Yet.
Okay.
But we have a new article done by the same trio that wrote the original article in December 2017 revealing the existence of a program called ATIP, which stands for Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, and revealed the video of what became known as the White Tic Tac video, which shows a thing looking like a giant sugar cylinder, Kessel. Remember that bit from last week? flying through the sky. And a bunch of pilots going, what the fuck is that? But a new article done by the same trio of reporters, Helene Cooper, Ralph Blumenthal, and Leslie Keen, has further revelations of why the U.S. Navy has decided to revamp its entire system for registering sightings with the U.S. government. And it is just,
so
we are fucking here, bro.
Okay,
we are fucking here. We are in it, dude.
We are in the middle of it. Now, obviously, there are some people who are going to be skeptical. As always, you got to put on your skeptic's cap.
I'll fucking shoot you in the head.
Whoa! It's a bulletproof skeptic's hat.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I shouldn't threaten violence.
You can't get through that. But it does seem interesting. There were some people speculating that this is all Tom DeLonge, former Blink-182 singer and what, with the guitar player or something like that. I don't know what people do. But they're saying Tom DeLonge is setting all of this up in order to promote his new show. And I'm just going to say,
I don't know. Is a fun idea. It's a fun idea to think that Discovery Channel's rollout would include a full front page spread of the New York Times. I wish, if only other basic cable channels had that, like Adult Swim, to be able, because you know how we, because this year for season four, Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, we had Pope Francis come out and call me gay, which I thought was really, really nice of him to come out and, because, you know, he's roasting me. It's fun. I'd love to be gay.
No, absolutely.
I wish he was correct.
How'd you get Pope Francis on board? What do you have to give that guy in order to do promo for Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell?
Let's say I have a hard drive of pictures.
Blackmail.
Yeah.
All right.
Dude. And there was a lot of blackmails in those pictures.
Oh, interesting.
Now, what we have here with this story is it is basically testimony from a lieutenant by the name of Ryan Graves.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a pilot for a thing called a Super Hornet.
Ooh.
Which looks cool.
Yeah, of course.
I fucking love all this shit, man.
Yes. So this dude, he was in the Navy for 10 years, and he's actually here, he's here quoted saying, these things would be out there all day. Keeping an aircraft in the air requires significant amount of energy. With speeds we observe, 12 hours in the air is 11 hours longer than we'd expect.
There's a couple of good sources on this that I was listening to a podcast by Jeremy Corbell, who directed the Skinwalker Ranch documentary that we covered when we did Skinwalker Ranch this year, with a man by the name of David Fravor, who was the one who saw the Nimitz tic-tac-toe UFO event. That was the pilot that tracked that UFO.
Okay.
And he said what they are seeing is shit all day long.
Crazy.
That these flights, he's like, if you spend enough time on the sea, he's like, essentially, I mean, besides just seeing shit, God knows what you, I mean, you know, drinking torpedo wine. I don't know what they're making in the basins of a submarine. But
I don't know. I guarantee you there is definitely one guy, though, who everyone's just like, hey, Rodney, could you just tuck it again and just walk around, just prance a little bit? I don't know what happens. I toured one submarine when I was in San Francisco with Brooke, and there's not a lot of room to roam around there. So I don't know what goes on.
It makes you super horny. And that's what happened. Look at my father and shot me out. I was one of his fermented seeds in the back of him that made this. They made this monkey you see before you. But he is saying, so basically they're seeing shit all day long. Like, so this is a part of where they're trying to figure out a way to normalize what the hell it is that they are seeing and to figure out a way to talk to their superiors about it. Because
right.
David Fravor says that with that white Tic Tac, when they saw it, the first thing it tried to do was it tried to jam their signal. And he said, that is officially an attack against the U.S. government.
Really?
If you ping a craft that you don't identify and it does not give you a call back, you're supposed to go, you have to scramble, identify it, and essentially, quote unquote, help it land one way or another. Like, you're supposed to guide it to a near airport to figure out what the hell is going on, or you're supposed to blow it out of the sky. So this thing, they track it for a little while and attempted to jam their radar, and then it flew away. But back to Lieutenant Ryan Graves, he was saying in a story that is absolutely compelling. He said that he almost hit one of these things while on a test run. He said a pilot and his wingman were flying in tandem about 100 feet apart over the Atlantic east of Virginia Beach when something flew between them, and the only way that he could describe it was that it looked like a sphere encasing a cube. This thing flew in between them, and he said, again, it stops, turns on a dime. And what seems to be the term that a lot of these guys seem to say is that speed doesn't kill you, stopping does. They're like, the whole thing is that this, it's not the, like, you can go as fast as you want, it's not going to do anything to your body besides the G-forces.
Right.
But it's when you stop, especially if you stop fucking cold, All your guts are going to splatter.
All right, I just want to caution.
Against the fucking windshield.
I just want to caution everyone out there. Maybe you are on a cocaine bender right now. Do not quote Henry. This is about traveling. This is not about the drug, because I know for a fact, day two of a cocaine binge, I'm sure someone's like, Henry said the speed doesn't kill you. It's the stopping.
Keep going. They are correct though, in the same way.
Now, of course, there are some people who are skeptical. So just senior astrophysicist Leon Golub, he was quoted in the Times saying there's so many other possibilities. He's like, maybe bugs in the code, which is kind of scary to think the Navy has like a bunch of bugs being like, oh, there's a ship over there, but there isn't, because they are heavily armed things that I would hope that they would get that right.
You see my hand? What is it doing?
I see what
grasping. At straws.
I see. Straws. And of course, straws kill turtles, so don't grasp at those straws. Leave the straws alone.
I hate this.
I know. So he's like, there could be some bugs in the code for imaging or display systems. He's like, atmospheric effects and reflections. And then he also says, neurological overload from multiple inputs during high-speed flight. So
sure.
His explanation is, if you fly, you go crazy.
There's that, and the machines kind of go crazy too because you're flying at a high speed. But the thing is, it's happening all the time. And it's different when you can lock onto it with your targeting mechanisms. That's what they're saying,
right,
is that they're locking onto these things, and then they're following them. And then shit like this, where Ryan Graves is seeing it with his own fucking eyeballs, and he doesn't know what to say, because we actually have a good letter from a Marine that I want to cover real quick that really dispels exactly what we're talking about.
Also, I asked the question on last podcast on the left, which branch of the military drinks the most? It turns out it is the Marines, but technically that is the Navy, and I'm just going to put this out there. Is it possible these naval pilots are hammered? Is it possible?
I think it would be difficult, but I do appreciate them getting loose before a flight, because it's a little difficult that there's a lot of pressure.
I know it.
It's got to be difficult to fly a jet plane. Mm-hmm. So I imagine having a couple under the belt, it allows you to really have some fun.
Well, absolutely. And of course, if you're out there to perform a mission that may end up with the death of tens of people, maybe you want to be a little hammered for it.
Well, we got a bunch of, like, the Navy's the biggest drunks. The Marines are the biggest drunks. But the one I believe is from a letter from a lady goes by the initial K, who is a dancer in Hawaii, who says it's definitely the Navy.
All right, there it is. We can trust her.
I trust her. But this letter from the Marines, I think, kind of spells out a little bit more of the problems with being a pilot and trying to talk about the fact that you almost hit a sphere encasing a cube. According to N, I've seen two UFOs in flight. The first was a white cylinder while out at sea. I saw it for maybe 15 seconds hovering above the surface. Then it dove in the water without a splash.
Whoa.
So at that point, though, I was working for 16-hour days at sea, so I just figured I was seeing shit.
Okay.
The second was while I was doing training in the mountain ranges between San Diego and Los Angeles, flying straight when one of my pilots noticed a big boomerang/triangle, all black-shaped object appearing to fly in the opposite direction at us. We figured it was just an Air Force jet or something without lights, and that air traffic control had fucked up. We changed our course to avoid hitting it, but as we came abreast of it, we realized it wasn't flying, but hovering and rotating to keep orientated at us. It was
weird.
A bright night, and we had night vision goggles on. Otherwise, we wouldn't have seen it because it had no lights.
Whoa.
And he said it, but essentially what he says, he's like, I never talk about it, because it's like you either let it ruin your life and your military career, or you don't. I think the same type of person who's willing to put the time and effort into flying for the military isn't willing to throw all that away over the stigma that's associated with UFOs. The world's coolest job that I work regular 14-hour days, you can't just give it up because you saw something that is ultimately inconsequential to you.
Wow.
Would Tom Cruise, and I like this term you give, his last little sentence, would Tom Cruise have given up smashing Kelly McGinnis and playing shirtless volleyball because he saw something weird for 15 seconds once or twice in his career?
I don't think so. Of course, that's a Top Gun
reference. Tom Cruise would have, though.
I love it. And Top Gun, I'm going to say this, and this is maybe, this is going to be a classic, controversial Kissel comment here. Hot shots. I'd rather watch Hot Shots than Top Gun.
That is not controversial.
Really?
I think for side stories, that's canon. Okay. For me, yeah, I feel top Hot Shots is much better than Top Gun.
Okay. But
Top Gun is good. Top Gun's, if you like steamy dudes, though, Top Gun is the most straight-looking movie that really is just to see men with tight buns almost kiss.
Well, and Val Kilmer, of course, he was the main character there in Top Gun. My buddy got to meet him. He actually signed, I think, one of the first copies of Willow for him, which was pretty awesome. But Val Kilmer, he's got the thing in the throat now because he had throat cancer.
Yeah, now it looks like this. Yeah. He goes like this. Which is, you know, I mean, it's a new thing. It's a cool new thing.
It's fine. Yeah, it's not bad. So we hope that Val's doing all right. He looks okay. I just miss, you know, that's why I've always said this. I don't want my celebrities dead. I want them fat. Because when they're fat, they're happy and they're healthy. Like big old chunky Val Kilmer. It seemed like he was just living his best life, and now he's all thin and gaunt.
They have one good picture of him that I think was memed the hell out of. It was just fat Val Kilmer looking back and smiling. I think you can find it. It's pretty good. It's good. Look up fat Val Kilmer smiling, and it really is. It's nice to see. You know what we were also talking about, too, and I forget his name. Maybe if Travis can chime in, if he remembers his name, the lead singer from The Cure.
Robert Smith.
Smith. Yeah.
Robert Smith is a man that he is really comfortable with what he looks like now.
I love it. I love it.
Very comfortable.
We all need to aspire to be Jack Nicholson eating a sandwich on a yacht with no shirt on.
Yes,
and
with
just
the two hot babes. He's two hot babes next to him while he's covered in fucking mayonnaise. It's the ultimate power move. I fucking love it.
It's just ridiculous. Anyway, but, all right.
So back to the story. Just to close it out.
Okay, close her out.
We are really in the golden age of UFOs right now. Jacques Vallée also had, he was recently on Coast to Coast.
Okay.
You do not care, so I'm not going to try to impress you with this.
He's very impressive.
Do you remember one thing I've said about Jacques Vallée?
Jacques Vallée? Yeah, Jacques Vallée was the guy. Wasn't he the one where he taught you how to work out with just a chair? If you're a little bit older, you can actually work your tries and your biceps.
I'm going to jump through the tubes of the internet. I'm going to get into that office. But Jacques Vallée was the one. He's the proponent that UFOs are a psychic display. He's my favorite one of all of them.
Yeah. No, he's a proponent that it's a psychic display. Yes.
See, look, wow. You see, you learned. But he said recently, he was like, one cool thing he said that I thought was very interesting. We said, like, because we were talking about why does the Air Force not see as many UFOs as the Navy? And it seems that the Navy has a lot more opportunities to just be observant. And also the U.S. Navy has a 360-degree purview where you're seeing in the ocean, you're seeing up, or when you're flying in a plane. And I don't know. I don't know if this is true or not. I don't fucking know. But this is what he's saying, and I thought that made sense to me. Also, we had a lot of people who recently said that we are giving a lot of credence to the U.S. military, saying that they're good at observing things. People saying, well, have you ever actually been a member of the military? Obviously not. So I don't really know. And a lot of people are saying you're giving them too much credit. But I'd like to give our boys some credit and our ladies.
A little bit of people protecting our country. A little credit for those people, sure. Protecting the country.
Credit.
Not against domestic or foreign threats, but against extraterrestrial threats. Honestly, that would be really fun.
Unless the call's coming from inside the house.
Oh.
And these are things that we are creating. I still have a super theory. I have an overarching theory about UFOs to the military that I'm saving for our Rendlesham Part 2 episodes that I'm like working on how to verbalize.
All right, well, stick around.
We're in the middle of something that is like, this is like a culture change that we obviously have been trained very well by the U.S. government and the media to not care about.
Even
like when we were talking with this, when the Marine in his letter was saying that how you're seeing a thing that is of no consequence to you, why would it let it ruin your career? Which I totally understand for them.
Of course.
But for the rest of us, this is like an opportunity if we want to sit and think about how reality is not as simple as we'd like it to be.
All right, there it is. We'll keep you updated on all things UFO related. Okay, well, here's a story that I really wanted to cover, almost as much as Henry wanted to cover UFOs. This is out of Washington. A man allegedly hiding drugs in his butt accidentally shoots himself in the testicles. So a man who shot himself in the testicles was found to be hiding not cocaine or crystal methamphetamine or fentanyl. It was marijuana.
Where is this that he felt the need to smuggle weed in his butthole?
My understanding is this is in Washington, but I'm also 100% sure Washington has legal weed.
Yep.
So I don't know why this man decided to do this. His name was Cameron Jeffrey Wilson. He was carrying a gun in his front pocket in Washington State when the firearm accidentally discharged. The bullet pierced Wilson's testicles and then went into his thigh. Upon arriving at the hospital, a doctor was operating on the gunshot wound when a balloon of marijuana slipped out of Wilson's butt.
Oh, my God. What an asshole. I think he just wanted to keep it there.
I don't know. Police arrived at the hospital and searched Wilson's car, where they also found a bag of meth. I think that you should hide the meth in your butt and you can leave the weed in your car.
I think the meth had something to do with it.
Maybe.
I feel like the meth had something to do with the fact that he felt that he had died of fucking weed.
This guy's having
asshole.
I feel bad for this guy in some way. He's having a rough go. So, the man's troubles did not end there. Wilson, he's also a convicted felon, was being processed in the Chelan County Jail. He was strip searched, and another balloon of marijuana came out of his butthole. Wilson has pleaded not guilty to second-degree felon. Felony in possession of a firearm and unlawful possession of meth. He also pleaded not guilty to possession of a controlled substance in a correctional facility. So there you go. That's just kind of an interesting thing there.
Good for him, man. I mean, so he's in jail now.
Yes, he is. And I do want to say the editor's note at the end of this. I'm on Fox KTVU. The editor's note is, this story initially reported the man accidentally shot himself in the penis. He actually accidentally shot himself in the testicles. And that is truth in journalism. That is truth in journalism. The Fourth Estate is still strong in this country. The war on journalism hasn't taken out this local Fox affiliate. So anyway, Cameron Jeffrey Wilson, best of luck, buddy. I mean, I guess, my goodness, again.
He might be fucked.
He probably is. Yeah, well, it's the methamphetamine that is the much higher crime.
It really is it's sad. You know, because meth, from what I've read about meth, is that it's not like the way the people talk about it in the movies or the way you see it in commercials. Like, it's not just like playing heavy metal guitar till 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it is, but it's not just fucking for 5 days and like stealing from your grandma's house and like stealing her pancreas medication and boiling it down and selling it on the street. Whatever that bitch does when she ain't looking.
Oh,
yeah,
my
goodness. That's what happens, grandma. You get got. You get got, grandma.
All right. Well, she's a very nice woman. And of course, when you are on crystal meth, I've never done it, but when you do jam out on playing guitar or whatever until 3 a.m., you think you're rocking. But anyone who's sober is just like, they're just hearing like the worst.
Bam, bam, bam. Bam, bam, bam. I like my solo slow. Bam. Stand out on it. Slow hand. No, because they said that that meth makes you feel super confident. And
yes,
it's more like, I've got my shit together. I've got this, buddy. I've got this. It's like you become an Instagram inspirational post. You become live, laugh, love when you do methamphetamine. But it just doesn't last. It takes more and more for it to do it. And then eventually, again, you're eating the scabs off your own face.
Oh.
And you're living underneath a freeway.
Yeah, I know. Well, anyway, congratulations, by the way, to anyone. This is kind of a strange thing to segue here, but we have a lot of people who have gone through recovery, and congratulations to all. And I'm sure
honestly,
Henry's description of what that drug is not going to entice anyone to do it. So I think we're doing okay, making sure we don't advocate people do crystal methamphetamine.
Honestly, I really do. We actually receive a lot of email people who say that they have been going through recovery, and I'm sorry that we can't be examples of a sober lifestyle, but I am happy that we are here to entertain you.
Yes,
when you're not feeling so hot.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I mean, at some point we'll join you. We're all getting old.
We're going to be told by a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's going to be happening. Every one of us is going to... There is going to be a thing that you're going to be told not to do. I mean, it's obviously the BLs.
Yeah, I know.
I think that mine is going to be... I'm going to have to go to some exhaustion or meditation camp. Like, I have to go to like a stress fighters university. I should listen to our own ads and get that calm.com bullshit.
You should. Yeah, you should.
I was looking at it, and it's like, it is fine, but the problem is a lot of it's being like, you are calm. Can you feel how calm you are? Meanwhile, it's just me listening to it, like, cleaning my sniper rifle. And that's not how it's supposed to be done. No, you should be cleaning your armory.
No.
While listening to calm.com.
No, that's the... Yes, Whitman may have been calm as well. I don't know.
He was super calm. You should, if you just check how fucking in the pocket he was. He was all the way there, but he had a brain tumor.
Yes, and there was... and actually, that is true when it comes to snipers.
My head.
In the military.
My head. All that shit. I think we covered that on our Spree Killers episodes like fucking 6 years ago.
I'm pretty sure we actually have a Spree Killer here story in a second. But that is true with snipers. You do have to really slow your heart rate down. I don't know how they can do it because I would be quite nervous. And then you can, then you're able to hit the target.
I feel like you got to be a type of person. You have to be a type of person to be a sniper rifle guy, be a sniper. Hey, if we got any snipers, please send us emails about your fucking most premium kills. That'd be kind of sweet. But obviously, it's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot for our listeners. But.
Sometimes they don't like to brag about their kills, Henry, because they maybe didn't get into the military to just do that.
No, but I'm farming our listeners for the best stories. And for me, I sat and watched all three John Wicks. On Sunday, I went all through, then I went to go see John Wick, and man, it just makes me get a fucking suit, man. I want to get a suit and just do the, because Keanu Reeves also knows how to hold the gun. You keep the elbows
cool.
in, man. It's like, he's sweet, dude. Keanu Reeves fucking killer in that movie, man.
I just watched the first John Wick for the first time ever, and I
you
didn't
lucky
realize
bitch.
The whole revenge theme, they just, I don't want, this is a spoiler, but I think the movie's 8 years old. They killed his dog, and then he just murdered a bunch of security guards.
Yeah.
Like, you just came into my bar and start shooting it up. I'm not even a bad guy. I love dogs. I have a dog. And he's just like, pop, pop, pop. And
yeah,
it was great. The whole movie was to revenge his dog. And I love it. I mean, I love it.
It's the best. I felt the same way. Well, I sat watching it with Wendy, and Wendy was like next to me. And I remember just like, I was petting her and being like, Wendy, if anybody ever hurts you, your father's going to do the same thing. He's going to go and systematically destroy every single one of them and everyone that they're connected to.
Yes.
And she just looked at me, and she knew.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, she knew.
Great, yes.
That's why I'm going to get there. Once I get my crossbow in, once I could get a solid crossbow sponsorship for the podcast so we can get a discount because they're $2,000 a piece. And that says that we need to have more area to have the crossbow.
Yeah, I think a backyard, some land might be good so you could shoot it as opposed to just attacking the slime that's in your neighborhood with a crossbow. This is really, I mean, this neighborhood watch phase you're going through could end in total destruction.
It's going to end how it's supposed to end.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, no matter what, that is the truth.
Well,
I want to do a quick update.
Yeah,
let's
do it.
I was completely correct. The crossbow murders were a part of a cult activity. It turns out there's not a lot of information out about it yet.
Well, let's go through a little bit. Can we remind the audience what happened with this crossbow murder? So it was three total people that died, right? And it was a person.
Five.
Five total people.
So
okay.
It was three people in a hotel room.
Right.
All two died of crossbow shots to the head and chest, and one with a self-inflicted crossbow bolt murder, and then two.
That's right.
One of the women, because it was a man named Torsten W., 53, holding hands with a woman named Kirsten E. They were both impaled with arrows lying on a bed, and the woman, Farina C., that was accompanying them, was found on the floor of the room, and she had shot herself in the chest
mm-hmm.
with a crossbow, which is
okay.
fucking very intense. And then in Farina's apartment, they found two other people dead.
Okay.
Which then they're not sure how they died yet. That has not been released. But apparently, it turns out Torsten truly was a ringleader, some form of cult leader, and that they said that when they arrived, his tone, the way they said it, apparently the person that was the who worked at the hotel that they were staying at, because they did it, they did these murders at a lovely little Airbnb. When they arrived, apparently, according to Alexander Kruger, Zeva almost submissive. This is the two women with Torsten.
Okay.
I had the impression that they are hardly allowed to talk to me. His tone was so harsh, strikingly harsh. Not the way you talk to anyone. It was a short, imperative sentences. And so all this shit is now kind of rolling out. And then Rolling Stone very funnily says, but in the meantime, we're going to need a podcast about these folks. which makes me want to shoot myself in the head with a crossbow.
Whoa, all right. Rolling Stone coming back, aren't they? All right. Well, there you go. A little update on the crossbow story. Let's see.
But I mean, there's really nothing else. It just seems to be it was all within Torsten's medieval weapon shop. Because remember, we said that he had a medieval weapon shop, which is also, if you see the pictures of the inside of it, it's pretty, pretty wonderful. It is, it's just like various crossbows put on the walls, a couple of Rosicrucian style like flags with the Rosicrucian cross on them, and then several lady mannequins with blood splattered all over them.
A weird 12-year-old's dream, I guess.
Honestly.
Let's see.
Think about this. He had two women. He was a master of women.
I don't.
You know, I think I like women to be free. I want my women to be free.
That's
I want them to make their choices. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. By the way, at some point we should do a little Nexium update because the stories coming out from that trial are really disgusting. Keith Raniere just, you know, I'm just going to say maybe he didn't have the best interest of the people in mind.
What?
I know.
So what we have next is, what are we going to call him? Like, this, we're going to vaguely celebrate this person. I don't know if we should.
No, I'm not sure. Yeah, we usually do Hero of the Week, and that person really, truly is a hero. This week, we're calling it Problematic Hero of the Week. So this dude, he is a, so this man says an intruder broke into his house. Now, what usually happens? They steal stuff, maybe hurt you. This dude evidently just cleaned the man's house and left. So a Boston area man came home from work with his son to find something amiss. He thought that maybe they had been robbed, but upon further inspection, he discovered that nothing was missing and his home was sparkling clean. Nate Roman, it's pretty crazy. Nate Roman lives in a single family home in Marlborough, Massachusetts. Roman told CNN he left work in the morning on May 15th and came home from picking up his son to find the door was unlocked. This is a quote. He says, "My son said, Dad, the door is unlocked, which I have done once every blue moon and didn't think anything about it. But when we walked in immediately, there was a vibe that something was wrong in the house. He realized that someone may have been in the home because a door he normally keeps open was firmly shut. Roman then went upstairs to check the rest of the house. He discovered his son's room, which was a wreck when they left in the morning, was neat as a pin. He found his room in the same pristine condition. The rugs were vacuumed. Everything was neat and put away. So naturally, he immediately called police." What do you think about this? Because it is kind of funny that that the home invader went in there and was like, "I'm not going to steal from these people. Look how messy they are. They obviously need some help."
It is highly problematic. I would say it's close to gang stalking in a way. I don't know what this is. In my mind, first thing that keys up, and it's not just because it's early and I'm horny. Mm-hmm. It is because I view this as a vaguely sexual act.
You think so?
Yes, because it is coming to someone's home. It's taking total control of their home without them knowing it. It's coming in and almost BTK-like. Viewing yourself as superior to these people, cleaning their home, and then leaving. So no signs of burglary? Nothing was stolen?
No signs of burglary. There's no suspects. This is according to Roman again, the man whose house was cleaned. No crime happened. Nothing was missing or damaged. So the police have very little to go on. Also, the dude's security system was not set so cameras would be activated when the alarm goes off. So they didn't get any pictures of the intruder. The timestamp on the door sensors indicated that whoever was in their house stayed there for about 90 minutes.
See, that is to me
creepy.
That's a part of me that is, that to me is insanely frightening. I think that that's the part that kind of makes my skin crawl the most. Being
really?
Like, because most, because I was watching, I love those, where I watched a burglar talk about, like a professional,
oh, yes,
professional burglar,
yeah,
talk about his like his strategies and like how you can avoid having your home burgled. And he basically said, you're the goal. He's like, my goal is to be in there for 3 minutes. He's like,
right.
I, any time longer than that, I'm fucked. He's like, I'm trying to come in. I'm trying to get the shit. I'm trying to leave. And it's really the people who linger, because
right.
Imagine what's going through this person's head. They're walking through your house. They're imagining sitting and watching television with you and your family.
Oof.
They're looking at all your pictures. They're looking through your kitchen. They're looking at all this stuff. They're looking through your trash. They're looking through your bathroom. They're doing all this kind of stuff. There's something about this that's so personally violent.
Right.
Past just we're robbing you.
Well, honestly,
that is,
Henry,
it's vaguely, it's frightening, but again, I hate to clean.
This last, I do too. This last detail might prove your point about this being a sexual thing, and this is certainly the creepiest part of all of this. Again, he was in there for 90 minutes. How long does it take to clean a bedroom? You know, maybe 30 minutes. Two bedrooms, 60 minutes. Well, he also spent time making roses out of toilet paper. And he left those in the bathroom. The detail that made him realize that was probably the work of a professional. His theory is that a cleaning service came to the wrong address, but his kitchen was untouched, which makes him second guess his suspicion. Is that possible?
I think that is completely impossible.
You don't think so?
Absolutely. Absolutely not. I don't. No one comes. If it's vague, I guess you could be so scared of your bosses or so scared of people that would hire you to come over to their house. Like, I could see why. I guess maybe you would, like, work clean anyway,
maybe,
even though nobody was there to let you in and you didn't have keys and it's obviously not the address and they weren't ready for anybody to be home.
Right.
And normally there's, like, a text.
Yeah.
Or something being like, hey, we're going to be in this house. Like, are you home? Like, we're about to start. There's like something like that. I don't know.
Right. Well, I will say the
they're just trying to
owner,
make themselves not scream.
The owner of this house is taking everything in stride. He said he's moving past the ordeal, but he did keep a toilet paper rose as a souvenir.
Oh, so, get rid of it, you fucking creep. What's wrong with you?
That's why I'm saying problematic hero of the week, because no, like, everyone is just like, huh, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? So hopefully this is not a sign of something much worse, and hopefully it is just maybe someone on crystal meth who cleaned his house so well he said, you know what, I've got the gift of cleaning and scrubbing.
I gotta
right
fucking
now.
Do this again.
I'm gonna do this again. All right. So that is this week's problematic hero of the week. Let's see here. So we got to wrap her up. Thanks for everyone that I saw there in Vegas this weekend. Cannot wait. Vancouver, Seattle, Portland, come out and hang out with us. We get so lonely on the road. So it's going to be a
so
lot
lonely,
of fun.
So cold. So lonely and cold on the road.
Yeah.
Can someone come and please wash me feet?
Oh.
Come in the wash at me feet. And remember, Vancouver, if you have the VIP, if you have the VIP ticket, Kissel's gonna give you a little kiss. He's gonna give you a little
I'm
Joe Biden.
I'm not gonna do that.
He's gonna
I'm not gonna
Joe
be
Biden.
Joe Biden.
He's gonna kiss you the little back of your ears and tell you how smart you look.
Why are
he's
you
do
doing
that
to
stuff.
Me? No,
because
my.
This is what they paid for. This
don't
is what the
think...
people paid for, Kissel.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and I want to remind people, and I'm going to put another post about this. We're having a Relax Fit last podcast on the left this week.
Mm-hmm.
Incentive Rental Shimp Part 2. I just want to, I'm going to put this out there, full transparency. This, we are going to try not to drop these Relax Fits in the middle of series anymore. Like, we don't really want to do that. But unfortunately, because of the timing of the ending of the book, we need this time
right.
for Marcus's brain to finish the book. We're literally finishing
we are
the
there.
Second edit of
almost.
The book.
Yes.
So we are these Relax Fit episodes are purposefully positioned in the schedule
yes.
so that Marcus can. But once this is done, we will not be dropping a Relax Fit in the middle of a series ever again.
Yes.
That's a part of our, because we don't like ruining the timing. And also, I don't like you having to wait for the conclusion of Rendlesham. And I can't wait to talk about it because I have a lot of bullshit that I am ready for to talk about this year. Because this is when it really gets silly.
Yes, awesome. Okay, absolutely, guys. And, you know, so everything, you know, Wes, we're just trying to do the best we possibly can. And, yeah, as Henry said, this book, we're in the third trimester. We're 9 months in. It's got to be delivered at some point in the very near future. So
It has to be.
And you're going to love it. Honestly, the book is so good. Marcus found a way to make me read a book because I had to read every single chapter. And you know how angry that made me? But it truly is a phenomenal book. And so you guys are just going to absolutely love it. And it's as in-depth as you would hope. Because I had my book idea, you know that, what my book idea was, the fronts and butts of serial killers.
Yes, we would have pictures of the fronts. Pictures.
Yes, and then we would make jokes. Yeah, but maybe that's our next book, the fronts and butts of serial killers. But all right, everyone, so thank you all so much for your support. We will keep on trucking, and you do as well. All right, I think you have to say your triple L thing at this point, otherwise we're not going to be able to end the show.
Sometimes I do, sometimes, you know what I'm going to say is I'm going to say triple L, live it, love it, love it, laugh it, live it, love it.
Wow,
get it? Got it.
That's a sextuplet L, I think.
Sextuplet L today.
Wow. Well, you know what?
Get it.
My serotonin levels are so shot with my trip to Las Vegas. I needed that little sextuplet triple L.
Sextuplet.
Sextuplet. Am I back in Vegas? What's going on here?
Family. Remember, say, what was his name? The Fritzl.
Fritzl.
That's called pulling a Fritzl when you have sex with your own family to make another.
Joseph Fritzl. Did we ever cover Joseph Fritzl? Have we covered him?
We did. A long time ago, we did a Sex Dungeons episode.
Oh, that guy was nasty.
No, we still haven't. One day we'll do a full, I'm going to say deep dive. But,
No, that one's, that dude. Well, anyway, you can just do a wiki deep dive on Fritzl and you'll feel gross. All right, everyone. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
Are you dying? There it is. See everyone on the road this weekend. Can't wait. Hopefully Henry's still alive.